Imagine for a moment a world without standards. There would be no NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. There would be no SOP, Standard Operating Procedures. There would be no ISO, International Standards Organization. There would be no common standards across the world in weights, measures, amounts, or quality. There would be no building codes, no cleanliness codes. There would be no common decency, no common morality, no civil order, or even common law to rule and maintain order. There would be no laws for standard behavior or standards for driving on our highways and streets. Kind of seems like we're there, doesn't it? Anyway. There'd be no governments, no treaties or agreements, no world order, but there would be chaos. Utter and absolute chaos. Without standards, the human spirit explodes into its vilest expressions. There would be sin and sick chaos, utter and absolute chaos. The atheists like to put up a sign every now and then that says, "You don't need a God to be good." Oh, really? Then just who has the authority to establish what is good and what is bad? Don't be pushing your personal morality on me. You are no better than me. There is no good. There is no bad. Everyone does whatever they want. In Judges 21:25, it says a telling word. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. By the way, did you know that the atheists have a holiday? It's coming up on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Because in Psalm 14:1 it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt, their deeds are vile, there's no one who does good." Without standards, the human spirit explodes into its vilest expressions. And there would be sinful and sick chaos, utter and absolute chaos. Enter God. In Genesis 1 of God's word, we read through verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, the darkness he called night. And there was evening, there was morning, the first day." It reminds us that in the beginning, there was a formless void, but there was God. And God spoke his word, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good, and he separated that from the darkness. And it was evening and morning the first day. This God who we find from the word of God is eternal and holy and unchanging and all-powerful and all-present and all-wisdom and all-knowing and sovereign over all. And as God, the only God, the only one who is capable of speaking perfect words of life. You know, all of us could try to write a Bible, a book, of what to believe and how to live. I'd like you to just think about a nomination of someone sitting among you now, just one person, or even maybe a delegation of people in here, who in all of humanity are so perfect, so sinless, so without baggage, that they could write a perfect, pure, and holy Bible. A Bible of absolute perfection, of truth, of standards. A Bible without sin and tainted thoughts or baggage. A Bible that won't be affected by human desire and sin. A Bible for all people, for all time. Okay, nominations are open. Any names? How about this section right here, if we got you as a group? How about you? How about me? I don't think so. No, for us to have a Bible that is perfect and holy and unchanging, eternal, and all wisdom will require an author who is perfect and holy and almighty and unchanging and all wisdom. And that author is none other than the one and only almighty, perfect, holy God. God has given us revelations, and we see them throughout His Word. He revealed Himself to humanity in several ways. There are things called the general, the natural revelations in nature and creation. Some of the special revelations He had also. You remember a reference in Exodus to a burning bush. And another part of Exodus in the Psalms, God appears and reveals Himself as a pillar of a cloud, or out of stormy winds and dreams and visions and a clear voice and a gentle whisper. And more significantly, He's given a special revelation in the written Word, His Word, the Bible, and in the Word made flesh, His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has revealed Himself physically and in His Word. And this Word that He has revealed Himself in, God is the author of His Word. God is the author of this. From the beginning of time, God has been speaking in creation, in forming and leading a people, and establishing His Word for faith and life for all people and for all time. In 2 Peter 1, we heard 20 to 21, we heard, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, by the writer's own desire to write. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. They spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Carried along is kind of like we're referencing to a huge ship, and it's got a, but the rudder steers the ship. It's under the control of the rudder. And God's Holy Spirit moved on these writers to record within His Word the integrity of the writer's character, their temperament, their gifts and their talents, their education, their culture, the vocabulary, and their style, and still putting forth His Holy Word. What a God we have. That's why in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it can say, all Scripture is God-inspired, God-breathed, and is useful. If you didn't have a pure thing, you couldn't have these. It is useful for teaching and for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. That means right living. So that the man, the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through His Holy Spirit, God inspired us, so moved in the hearts and minds of the writers that the Word God desired to be revealed was perfectly written. Even Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God is the source of your life. The Greek word for this kind of a word is graphe, which that means that which is written, the sacred writings. God saw to it that His Word for the world was not just thought of or spoken, but actually written down for all generations to have. It contains the very mind, heart, desire, and will of Almighty God. God's Bible is also the only, the one and only dependable truth. The psalmist says in 12:6, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay purified seven times. The word of the Lord are flawless. In Psalm 18:30, it says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is, what's the word? Flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. Flawless. Flawless. Psalm 19:7-9 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are what? Trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Jesus says in John 17:14-17, I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word, what is it? Is truth. These scriptures are the absolute foundational, fundamental words of Almighty God. They are reliable. No human concoction brought these together. It is truth. It is divine counsel. It is honest. It is true. It is timeless. It's an eternal book. It's an unchanging book. There's an old story of how you would have the anvil there, and all these hammers would hit against the anvil, but they never wear out the anvil. The hammers lay broken next to it. Well, there are many hammers that have hit at the scriptures, and the scripture is a foundation anvil, and at the side of it are all the attempts to discredit the word of God broken on the side, because the word of the Lord stands forever and always will. That leads to the point that God's word is never outdated. The psalmist says in 119, 89 to 91, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you." In 1 Peter 1, 24 to 25, "All men are like grass, and all their glory are like the flowers of the field." Like, we think, "Oh, I'm going to go on forever. I'm going to live forever." Well, we know that's not true. We all will be fading away like the grass just turns brown and fades away at the season. The flowers fade and they fall away. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. The word of the Lord stands how long? Forever. Now, there are benefits of knowing God's word. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, you probably know this, or as a child, you memorize this: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You understand what that means? It's like this is a light, a lamp unto my feet as to where I am now with you, God, and what's right in front of me and the path that's ahead of me. If I continue to follow this, I will have it for where I am now and where I'm going to go. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in 19:11, he says, "Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We hide this, hold this, treasure this, listen to it, obey God's word. We will not experience the agony of sin in our lives. And I love Ephesians 4:14. It kind of likens to a picture of a choppy sea. And out in the middle of this sea is a boat. A rowboat, if you will. And in the middle of that rowboat are some babies in the rowboat. Nobody else around to help them. What a picture. But if you have the foundational word of God in your heart, in your mind, if you have it in your life, and you understand, and you're in God's word, and you trust God's word, and lean on God's word, he says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Otherwise, we won't be left innocently out there to be attacked and torn apart by those who have false teachings and don't believe and trust in the Word of God. Another part of the benefits of knowing God's Word is this. We touched on this a little bit in Titus. And that is that the important part of knowing God's word, standing on God's word, and proclaiming God's word, and holding to the historic word of God, is because in this book are some wonderful promises that really help us in our lives. This Bible tells us, God tells us in his word, does it say God hates us or God loves us? Doesn't that make you feel good? No matter how you sin, how far you've run, where you've come from, whatever the pathway you've come from, God loves you. Second thing is, God then judged us and is going to make us pay for our sins. Is that true? No. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Why were we yet sinners? God gave his son to die for us. And if we believe in him, we will not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, think about that. Does that bring you joy, knowing that if you confess your sins, you ask God to forgive you, that all your sins are forgiven? Does that bring you joy? That confidence you have in that? And then you know when your sins are forgiven and they're forgotten that you are born anew. You're a new child of God. Does that give you comfort? And that the Holy Spirit comes within you. Does that give you comfort to guide you and encourage you? And another thing is, heaven is your eternal home. Does that make you feel good? You know it. Yes. And you will live and reign with Jesus and all of the believers forever and ever. Amen. Does that give you encouragement? If you cannot believe this, if you cannot have the foundation of this, if you do not have that, you have none of that. None of it. You hear the comfort that depending on the Word of God brings us? So just start reading it, studying it. Statistics say they took a survey of Christians and 48% could not name the four Gospels. Okay, let's practice that together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This church knows it. We're not in that 48%. 60% couldn't name five of the Ten Commandments. I won't test you on those. There's a quote that says, Americans revere the Bible, and by and large, they don't even know what it says. And because they don't know it, they become a nation of biblical illiterates. Every person should have their own Bible. Every person should carry their Bible to church and Sunday school and worship and for Bible study and prayer meeting. We want every person to, even if you have your own Bible, you have our permission to write in the margins. So this is your school book. You're not allowed to write in it. This is your Bible. And it's not that the pages are sacred, you can't touch these pages with a pen. It's the Word of God that's sacred. Make your notes all through those margins and all over the place, and make it yours and study it at another time. Make it yours. And I know that's going to be very hard to do if you're reading your Bible on your phone. I think it's wonderful we have Bibles on our phones. I encourage you to bring that. It's going to be very much more difficult to take notes while you look at the passage and try to do it. So if you want to use that, that's fine. Use a scratch piece. We give the things on here to go with it. But just read it, study it, get into it. If you have a Bible at home and you really like the idea of holding the Bible in your hand, and that's really what you want to start doing, then claim it as yours and begin to start bringing it every time you come. You know, somebody said that there's so many Bibles on the shelves of Christians in their homes all over this nation. I mean, we have more than one. Some people have 3, 4, 5, 10 Bibles in their house. And most of them are gathering dust. The only time they're dusted is when the pastor comes to visit. Well, we'll move on. They said if all the Bibles across the United States that are sitting on the shelves gathering dust were to be dusted at the same time, we would have a dust storm so big that the sun would go out and eclipse for a whole week. Find a translation that really has meaning to you. I started off with King James Version, went to the Revised Standard Version, went to the NIV Version. I use some different ones. I find out sometimes that I still like the way one or the other even expresses it, as long as it is a good interpretation. Let your family, let your spouse, let your children, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers see that you have the Word of God. You love the Word of God. I remember my last church, there was a lady that had a Bible on her desk, and at lunch, she would have a little devotional time, and people mocked her like crazy. Oh, you holier than thou, you Jesus freak. You know, who do you think you are, holier than we are, better than we are? She just took this and just said, no, I'm just having a little time. And it took a few months, but eventually, yes, you know, you look like you're a religious person. Can I ask you to pray for me? I'd be glad to. Can I ask your advice on something? Can you give me some guidance on something? I'd be glad to. Let them see, let your light shining, that let them know that you love God and you love His Word and that you're into the Word and you're studying it. You know that. If you need a Bible and you want to go out and buy one that's actually you can hold like this, I'd recommend a study Bible, something with some index on it and some study notes and the Old and New Testaments together. And I'd like to get into it. There's a pastor that was asked one Sunday, he said, oh, the junior high class, they The teacher didn't show up. Can you go in and teach the junior high class? He said, sure, I'll be glad to. So he went into the class, and they were talking about the walls of Jericho and things like that. And he walked in. He said, okay, class, I just want to know, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Silence. He said, okay, come on, let's try it again. You've studied this. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And one by one, the students said, I didn't do it. We didn't do it. Well, pastor was appalled. He went to his elders meeting a couple weeks later, and he just shared this. He said, I can't believe they didn't even know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. We need to get more Bible work in here. And the elders went silent, and one of them finally said, you know, pastor, this appears to be bothering you a lot, but I've known these boys since they were born, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't do it, they didn't do it. Let's just take some money out of the maintenance fund and fix the walls, and let's get on with it. Uh-huh. We look at our society today, and we see walls crumbling morally. Why? Because fewer and fewer people are reading the Bible, much more doing what God's Word teaches. And listen to some scriptures from God's Word. In Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The psalmist in 119, 9 to 11, how can a young man, a young person, keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And let me remind us all of something, or maybe reveal something to you that maybe you're not aware of. When God says no in his Bible, and by the way, there are a lot more yeses and encouragements than no's. But when he says no, he's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's trying to keep you from having scars. He wants to protect you. Just like if you had a child reaching up to a hot stove burner, you'd say no. That child might say, you are keeping me from having fun. No, I'm keeping you from having scars. The Bible will keep you from sin, I saw written in one Bible, and sin will keep you from this Bible. Write that in a Bible sometime. The Bible's most powerful book because it's the only God-given book. It will tear you to pieces, but in its love, it will put you all back together again. Remember I mentioned, if you have a dog that hears a strange sound, it's because it's a strange sound. We need to be so biblically literate and biblically faithful that when we hear a false teaching, we will hear it, cock our heads, and we'll say, that doesn't sound right. We need to understand that. A father bought his son his first Bible, and inside the front cover, he wrote these words, son, this book is a roadmap to heaven. Live by these words, and you'll never stray from the path. Ignore these words, and you'll wander far away from God's plan for your life. Even better, the author of this book will travel with you. Look for him. Listen to him. The one who wrote this book is the one who loves you most. Amen. This church, Pathways Baptist Church, this ministry has certain banners that are firmly planted in our identity. And you see them up there as we're preaching through this series. The first was Jesus-centered. Say that with me. Jesus-centered. Jesus is God's gift sent to humanity. Jesus is the Messiah who fulfilled all the messianic prophecies as only he could. Jesus is the Savior sent from the loving Father to a lost world. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only eternal life. And we only can come to the Father through him. He is the good news. He is the greatest news. He is the only name under heaven whereby we could be saved. Jesus-centered. He is the Savior and head of his church, this church. And at Pathways Baptist Church, we will preach Jesus, teach Jesus, glorify Jesus, defend Jesus to our last breath and our last ounce of energy. Amen. We're also Spirit-led. God is one. He expresses himself in a trinity of three persons, personalities, modes, and functions of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three are the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And in his gracious love, God gave his one and only Son to die, to pay the price, the bitter punishment that our sins deserved. But when we each confess our sins, ask forgiveness for our sins, ask God to allow Jesus to deal with, to die for, to take away our sins, and we invite his Son to our heart as our Savior and our Lord, we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are born anew as God's children, and we have heaven as our eternal home. And then God sends his Holy Spirit into the newly died for, forgiven, cleansed, born anew, heaven-bought heart and soul, and claims it as his temple. And that Holy Spirit, that is a creator and sustainer of the universe, lives within the heart and soul of each Christian to love and encourage, to teach and lead, as well as to convict and correct and renew. And the Spirit's will is that every Christ one will unite with other Christ ones to form his body, his church. And together as his body and church, we will be Spirit-led in our beliefs, in our behavior, in our care, and in our mission. All God's people say, amen. Thirdly, as today, biblically faithful. We are a biblical people, and we will be faithful to God's word. Pathways Baptist Church is firmly planted upon the word of the living God, the scriptures, the Bible. We wave our banner, we plant our banner, as committed to the word of God, as absolutely true, that every phrase, every verse, every chapter, every book, as having come from God itself. The Bible and the church's stance in the Bible is the life and the power of every church. Sadly, too many churches have adopted, are adopting, or will adopt a lower view of Scripture. Holding to the Bible is just another resource book to go on the shelf, filled with nice stories and moral suggestions, but not holding any more authority than any other spiritual writings. Are adapted, adopted, or finagled around to support anything else we want to see. But there are the growing churches who are holding firm that the Bible is the Word of God and is filled with God's truth and instruction. God's breathed words, God's absolute words, God's authoritative words, God's challenging, correcting, and guiding words for our individual lives and for our faith and practice as a church. God gave us a book. And in that book, he spoke, and what he says is exactly what he wanted to say, and he desired to say it in a way that we would understand it. God has spoken. He has not mumbled. He has spoken clearly. And he has spoken precisely and exactly. And in his revelation, the Holy Bible, he has spoken the truth, the whole truth, help me finish it, and nothing but the truth. It is the truth. All true. Nothing but the truth. It is the truth. It's the true word of the one true God. He does not write any other books to kind of go along to help you figure out how to read this book. He has one book, the 66 books of the Bible. And if it's not in here, God didn't say it. It's God's Bible, the absolute positive truth. You may hear people say to you, there is no absolute truth. And you can say, you're absolutely, positively wrong. There is absolute truth. It is in the Word of God. And we of Pathways Baptist Church will wave that banner that we will be biblically faithful. We are committed to the Holy Word of God. Here we stand. And all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you loved us enough that you have come and you've given us this word. Words of life. Words of encouragement. Words of great joy and tears. Words, yes, of challenge and correction. But all, Lord, so that we would be blessed and happy. Help us, Lord, to love you, to love hearing from you and, and hearing from your heart as we read your word that you've given to us, your love letter in your word of God. And Lord, help us as individually to do this and as a church. And Lord, help us to let others know in our world, Lord, that we love you and we love your word and we will live your word, for we find such strength and peace in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name.